Children, we're starting.
That's right.
Showtime!
Another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotou.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Might wish to stay on and listen.
Hi, and welcome to episode 91 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from audiotou.com. And with me on the line once again via Skype from Melbourne, Shelton Muller. How are you?
I'm really well, mate. I'm really, really well. And here we are, of course, at the episode wherein we find out who the winner is.
Absolutely. Insert drum roll here.
Yes, insert. Well, I hope you do have the appropriate sound effects for crowds clapping. We need some triumphant music, of course. You'll be inserting that all in, I presume, in the hours of editing that you put into this thing.
One drum roll coming up.
Right. Beautiful. Okay. Well, of course, we did get a lot of great entries.
We had about 40 all up.
Right. I did expect more, didn't you, Bruce?
I thought we might have. I sort of thought there would be more people submit.
Yes.
You know, because when it came down to it, there were only about 15 people who actually submitted images.
Yeah.
And I thought there would have been a wider spread of people who would submit photos. As it was, we had a tight-knit group who submitted multiple images, which was fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, anyway, but the quality images was great.
Excellent. Yeah, absolutely. And from, you know, that perspective, we do thank everyone for entering. And look, absolutely. If you didn't enter, maybe next time we'll offer a Nikon D3 or a, you know, a Canon EOS 1 DS Mark 47 or whatever they're up to now. We hope that you weren't put off by the fact that, maybe we didn't have such an incredibly huge major prize. Mind you, the prize we've got is rather lovely.
Yeah.
But we chose an easy subject, and we will do again. We'll be running another competition soon. We hope we didn't actually choose something that was too daunting for you to enter. But there have been some fantastic entries, and thank you all for, you know, entering. And everybody who's listening, have a look at, you know, our Audio to You site for the shots that were entered, and of course for our winner. There were some great entries, and one that particularly comes to mind is Bob Fisher's Waiting to Go Home, which I thought was a great entry. My only concern with it, I would have liked to have seen it photographed in landscape format with a lot of the darkness removed and the subject, you know, off to the left where you've placed it, Bob. But hey, you're a great photographer, mate, and there's no way I would question your vision. It's just my opinion. And that's the thing about judging a competition. And if you are a member of a camera club and you are, you know, submitting your work for judgment, remember that it is the opinion of a human being, and
it's
everybody's vision is different.
Yeah.
It is. You're absolutely right. Which is why I agree with a young Jewish rabbi who said somewhere around the year 30, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, he says, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And that's what I prefer to go by, because I don't want everybody judging my images. I don't like judging others. I think we should all just enjoy the process. But when you're doing a competition, some judgment has to come into it.
Yeah.
And of the entries that we received, there were, you know, several. There were some lovely entries, very well photographed, beautifully lit. And of course, we, you know, again, thank you all for your submissions. But the winner, Bruce.
Yep.
Do you want to announce it or shall I?
You can.
Yeah?
Oh, you're the photographic genius here.
All right. You're right. Okay. The winner, from my perspective, was Jamie Santillan. And thank you very much for sending your photographs of the cyclist. And the one, of course, of him holding his bicycle helmet, looking, you know, with it close to his head, is my winner.
Yeah.
And the reasons being that basically it has feeling. You haven't included the window, which a lot of people actually did in the images. Now, in Bob Fisher's Waiting to Go Home, the windows actually form part of the composition, and that's fine. But sometimes including the light source is actually more of a distraction, as we talked about in our podcast that discussed window-like portraits. But Jamie, you did not do that. Your composition is excellent. You chose a background that was not distracting, so your eye just immediately goes to the subject. The colors that you chose to highlight the the image, and the way you composed the image just generally meant that you highlighted the subject. It was nicely window lit. The texture was nice too.
I'm assuming that was a little bit of post production.
And that's fine. That's how you saw it.
Yeah.
And yes, the texture was great, without losing, of course, any detail where it was really needed. It had a little bit of contrast in it, but not so much that you'd object to any loss of detail in any particular area. And very, very well done, Jamie. Thank you so much, and thank you all for entering. But Jamie wins, of course, a copy of Corel Paint Shop Pro 11, which is a fabulous program and has some really great thing, one-click enhancements in it that, you know, other software suites such as, you know, even Photoshop don't have.
Yeah.
Photoshop is one of those things where you build actions and they become your one-clicks. But Paint Shop Pro has some really fantastic one-click things like timeline, and its black and white film simulator they're just great. I was fiddling around with that yesterday, actually. So, Jamie, you're going to love that. And again, thank you all for entering. And we're going to talk about window light portraits and why some, you know, that were entered didn't win, and why, you know, Jamie's did. But what I'd like everybody to do is actually go onto the Flickr site for Shutters Inc. And I have put it, well, you can go there via a link that I've sent to Bruce. You're going to put that up on audio to you, sure, aren't you, mate? And this is an image by Michael Baxley. And Michael, hello, Michael, if you're listening.
Yep.
Mate, why did you not submit this picture? No offense to you, Jamie, but Michael, had you submitted this image, I think it would have been a clear winner. I would have had absolutely no question about it. It would have stood out from the rest. And it's a, I think, window light. It could have been large softbox, and maybe that's why you didn't submit it, Michael. But I think it looks window light, doesn't it, Bruce?
It does.
And if it isn't, it's extremely well done softbox or artificial. But it's a photograph of a girl in a room. It's taken from a low perspective. She's leaning against the wall. And the way that, Michael, you have made the model turn her face into the light to shape the face and give it some real dimensionality. Pretty girl, too. So you'd really want the dimension in her face to be seen. Works for me. And it's just a beautiful shot. The pose, the composition, your perspective, your lens choice, the viewpoint, the way that you have used the window light to shape and create dimension, I think is just absolutely fantastic. And it is on the Flickr site for Shutters Inc. But of course, we've provided you with a link directly to that image from the audio2u.com website. Have a look at it, everybody. And Michael, next time you get a shot like that and we do a window light portrait, enter it, mate, because it's just a fantastic window light portrait. I went looking through all the entries to see whether you'd put it in. You did submit others, Michael, but why not that one? Because it was a clear winner from my perspective.
Mm.
And why it's a winner is what I really want to talk about. But of course, it's not just, you know, we can't just talk about one combination or one set of rules for a particular picture. But what I noticed in things that I was looking for in this particular competition that apply to so many other kinds of photographs were the things that made Jamie win. Excellent composition, good use of light and color, made the, you know, and granted shape, dimension, form, highlighted color, all those things. There was no distractions. All those things went into it. But let's talk about it bit by bit. In some of the images that we were looking at, Bruce and I, to me, there was a clear incorrect choice of lens. And from that, I'm talking about not only perhaps in terms of depth of field or aperture choice, but in focal length. That's focal length and choice of lens is a big problem among photographers. It really is. And we were talking a little bit about, you know, highlighting the subject, etc., last week and in previous weeks. But lens choice is such a big problem. When I go to photographers' websites, and a lot of them are, you know, part-time photographers, people with jobs and stuff, but a lot of them are claimed full-time professionals, they clearly have a difficulty in choosing the lens for that shot and then choosing the viewpoint and perspective to match that lens. Lens choice and viewpoint go hand in hand because each lens, of course, has its own perspective. And where you shoot from with regard to that lens is very, very important. So, and that's again why Jamie's works and why Michael Baxley's shot works. The lens choice that Michael used and the low perspective from, you know, almost floor length, floor height, is just really dramatizes the shot. If you had used a telephoto lens, Michael, you probably would have stood and used, you know, and perhaps just made a beautiful window light head and shoulders portrait of the same girl. But because you went full length, because you've used something a little wider and you've gotten down on the floor almost, or sort of kneeling height in that shot, you can, it's a real clever use of lens to highlight the subject. So lens choice and viewpoint and perspective go hand in hand. When you choose a lens, or when, you need to also consider how your viewpoint and perspective will match the lens that you've chosen. It's a common mistake that photographers make, you know, and we all make, but because we fail to actually connect in our mind what we're seeing and, you know, what we want to highlight, and then, of course, choosing the lens for the job. It's like with all things, you know, every skilled worker needs to choose the correct tool for the job, and lens choice is paramount. If you've got a range of lenses, you know, your focal length is paramount. And then, of course, yeah, viewpoint and perspective in connection with that lens use.
Without naming names, what sort of things did you see among the 40 submissions that we got that you thought were incorrect choices of lens? Was it lenses that were too long a focal length being usually used inappropriately, or was it wide angle being used inappropriately?
It would depend on how the shot was how it was trying to be seen, and that is a very subjective thing.
Yeah.
But often it was a case of too much perhaps distraction as a result of too wide a lens.
Right.
Too much was encompassed in the shot, or there was too much depth of field. I didn't see a lot of long lens use, or perhaps you know, focal lengths that were portrait focal lengths. I could be wrong, but and where that was used, you know, perhaps it wasn't used as effectively as it could have been.
Do you think some of it could have been overcome just by cropping?
Yes, right. Of course, composing more tightly.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, depth of field, we have talked about so many times, is paramount to really highlighting a subject, especially a window light portrait. But it's a combination of lens choice and where you position yourself in relation to your subject with that lens, with the subject in mind and the use of the light.
Of course, sometimes you are constrained by the architecture around you.
Yes. Yes,
yeah.
For sure. Absolutely. But I mean, if these images are submitted for competition, we can't take that into consideration because we're not there.
No, that's
for the photographer to decide and to work around.
Yep. Find a different window.
What's that, mate?
Find a different window.
And it's interesting you mention that because every situation has its own parameters within which the photographer has to work. So much of our photography is problem solving.
Yeah.
It really is. Every time I go to a wedding and I'm in the bride's or home or wherever she's getting ready, you know, there's a statement I always make that a photographer once said that good photography is 2% creativity, 98% furniture removal. And it's, you know, and when you're in someone's living room, it's true. Or when you're in a situation, you've got to physically move around, work with what you've got, change the situation, be innovative, think practically, which is hard for creative people to do, and make the situation work.
Well, I'll tell you what, even though I was not eligible to win the prize, I would have liked to have been able to submit an image amongst those 40. But I didn't, simply because I don't have a nice window in this house where I felt I could get a nice portrait.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, probably the best window portrait I've been able to do in this house is the one that everyone's already seen of Max with his arms crossed in front of him on the, you know, the arm of the sofa.
Yeah.
And that's probably the best window I've got, and it's not a great backdrop.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I didn't actually submit any images to this competition.
Right, right. The windows are well, you know, one of the most ubiquitous things we have, really. I'm not picking on you there, Bruce, because I do that in our own time. We should make it a if you weren't one of the people who submitted, or if you had a problem with it, actually pursue the idea of window-like portraits. I only say that because the great master painters, as we've often said here, used window light and created the most beautiful portraits. That was their light. And they knew the value of it. And you can do the most beautiful work with a window. Just, you know, one light source, a window if you want to, a reflector. But if you can master the art of window light photography, whether it be portraiture or still life or whatever it is, or architecture, if you can master window light, you are just taking leaps and bounds ahead in how you, and you'll be able to apply what you know from that in the studio and in landscape photography, because the principles of it are so important to understand. Hmm. You know, another thing that, of course, I was looking at was, as we said, distractions of background, and you know, the that is always an issue for me, because I believe that if you're going to have a photograph, the photograph has to be about something. It can't be about everything. It has to be about something, you know? And we need to choose, as we were talking last week, what that something is. And some of our portraits didn't make that very, very clear. So a person was in the shot, but there were other things contending for dominance, and right, that should never be the case. Now, the other thing that wherein some of us failed was in using light to shape the face. And this is where Michael Baxley has got it absolutely right, and why, another reason why Jamie won, because he used light to create the notion, the idea, the concept of three-dimensional shape in a two-dimensional image. Jamie, you did that nicely by even incorporating the bicycle helmet, because it has, you know, shapes, and it is very clear what the shapes, the three-dimensional shape and form of, you know, your subject is. In your portrait, your full-length shot of the girl in the window, Michael, you do that beautifully, and you do that by making her turn 45 degrees into the window, thus giving you a very good idea of how her face is proportioned. It's a beautiful face, and so you would want to make sure that you conveyed the proportions of her face by using light. There were some lovely window light portraits, but not all of them were you know, used the light to highlight the shape of the face, which is what, you know, window light can so beautifully do. So that is another thing to consider, that it really should, there should be highlight and shadow, and there should be some level of contrast. A couple of them were, you know, had the light was too even. It may have been window light, but it was too even for my liking, so that I didn't really get a notion of, you know, the dimension of the subject's face. And that is, of course, one of the reasons we light things, is to create form and shape, so that in a two-dimensional image we still get a very good idea of, you know, all of the things we want to see about a three-dimensional subject: shape, form, texture, etc. So from that perspective, that's why you won, Jamie, and Michael, that's why we love that other shot that's in our Flickr site. And I hope that, you know, if we do another competition, Michael, you'll send us more pictures of pretty girls. What is it, Bruce, with Michael Baxley and pretty girls?
Oh, mate, I don't know. The shoot you did with Shirley is fantastic.
Yeah. And you were saying that if you go to Michael Baxley's Flickr site and you go to his set that says Shirley, you were saying that, you know, she's wearing a rather ordinary brown outfit, but works. It really works. Mm. So, Michael, keep up the good work. And you know, again, thank you so much to all of you for entering the, you know, Shutters Inc. Window Light Portrait Competition. We'll be running another one soon that maybe another field of our photography set can enter, and that will be landscape photography. So let me talk to all my friends, and
No. We've got to wait until I get back from America for that.
But you're not allowed to enter, unless, of course, you enter under a pseudonym, in which case only you will know. You know, you could. Why don't you, like, I don't know, William Bruce or something? Your name.
No one would pick up on that.
Hi, I'm William Bruce.
While we're talking about that, you're going to be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
we've managed to squeeze Yosemite into the itinerary.
Rock and roll.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to get to Yosemite National Park late on an afternoon, and although at this point in time we haven't booked a motel, we'll find a motel close to the park and we will book in. And what I'm going to do is then get up at about 5 o'clock the following morning on my own and go into the park to photograph, hopefully, weather permitting, the sunrise over El Capitan.
Oh,
you know what El Capitan is.
Somebody's been doing his research.
Oh, yeah. you know, because it's going to be winter, which means there will more than likely be snow on the top of it. Mm-hmm. It could very well be a foggy morning for all I know, but that's the plan. So if anyone would like to join me in the early hours in Yosemite.
I want to join you.
Yeah, so looking forward to that.
You, as Monty Python once said, you lucky, lucky so-and-so. You must think the sun shines. Mate, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
That is really great. I'm glad you're doing it. So, okay, Lily, take this seriously, listeners. Yep. Bruce will want someone from the United States to help him translate while he's there. So,
you are a shocker.
Because, well, mate, no one's going to understand you over there, really. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're already familiar with the language. If you can help Bruce in the logistics of getting into Yosemite, you know, explaining to guides and others what he's doing, we would really appreciate that. And I hear you've got a dinner appointment.
I got an email a couple of days ago from Bob Fisher, and at the time of recording this podcast, I haven't actually got around to replying to him, so I better do that before I actually air this
before
podcast.
This goes to air.
Yeah.
Bob Fisher.
So, Bob, thank you very much. Bob's offered to accommodate me for a day or two if I'm interested out at Palm Springs. So I'm not sure how I'm going to go with that. I might be able to get out there for a day, but I don't think I'm going to have time to stay because we've tried to cram so much into this itinerary. Do you want me to quickly run through what we're doing?
I would like that, yes. And that way, of course, if you're listening and you live in the area, you can
absolutely
catch up with Bruce. Bruce will be signing autographs and you can have your photo taken with him. He'll, you know.
Basically, Kath and Max will fly into LAX on Saturday the 17th of November.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday and Monday, Disneyland.
Right.
So Max is going to love that. We haven't told him yet.
He knows
we're going to America, but we haven't told him we're taking him to Disneyland. So he's going to love that. So Sunday and Monday, 2 days at Disneyland. Tuesday, we're going to drive down to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll hand the hire car back at San Diego. And Tuesday night, we fly from San Diego to Seattle.
Right.
Pick up a hire car in Seattle on the Tuesday night. And
you're going to visit the graves of Jimmy and Kurt, aren't you?
Well,
in Seattle.
Yeah,
just to pay homage.
Could care less for Kurt, but anyway.
Nah, look, sorry. Kurt brought back the guitar in the early 90s. Thank you, Kurt. Anyway, that's another story.
Yeah. So anyway, we're staying with a mate of mine in Seattle for 3 nights. So the Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night. Wednesday, I'm hoping to get out to Adobe headquarters and catch up with the gang there.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the afternoon, hopefully do some touristy stuff around Seattle. Thursday, of course, is Thanksgiving. So Chad, the guy I'm staying with, he said, you know, we'll do the roast turkey and the whole thing for Thanksgiving.
You'll experience an American Thanksgiving.
Yeah, which I'm really excited about, you know.
Yeah.
You know, because I recognize that it's a major cultural thing for the Americans.
Yes.
You know, it's not something we celebrate here in Australia. So I'm really looking forward to that. And then on the Friday morning, we're going to hit the road early. We're going to drive down to Portland. We're going to go to Multnomah Falls, I think that's how they pronounce it, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But these are something like the tallest falls either on the American continent or in the Northern Hemisphere or something.
We do expect some fantastic photographs,
Well,
Bruce.
I'll be doing my best, matey.
I'll
be doing my best. And we can do I think it's about a 1 mile sort of loop bushwalk there. So we're going to do that, then hop back in the car and drive down to, I'm not sure if they class it as a town or a city, of Eugene,
uh-huh,
where we will stay for the Friday night. We're then going to get up early Saturday morning and we're going to drive inland and down to Crater Lake.
Nice.
You got to do a Google search on Crater Lake and then refine it to an image search and have a look at this place. It is absolutely gorgeous.
Okay.
Circumnavigate the western side of Crater Lake, then head back towards the coast through Grant's Pass, and then across to the coast to a place called Crescent City, where we will stay for the Saturday night.
Right.
Sunday will basically be a full day on the road driving down to Frisco, which will bring us into Frisco across the Golden Gate Bridge.
Right. Are you going to San Francisco? I wonder, will the girls have flowers in their hair?
So we're then going to spend... what did I say? That was Sunday. So Monday and Tuesday...
But if you realise now you say you're going to San Jose, there is another song I just have to break into.
Oh, no. Please,
okay,
no.
Good. All right. Fair enough.
So all of Monday and the first half of Tuesday will be sightseeing around Frisco. Kath wants to do the Bay Area cruise.
Yep.
And there's apparently a 2.5-hour walking tour of Alcatraz that she's really keen on doing. And I've been told by someone here in Sydney that they've done that and they said it is absolutely awesome and well worth doing. So that should be good. You know, Fisherman's Wharf and a few other bits and pieces. So then Tuesday lunchtime, we will leave Frisco and drive out to Yosemite.
Wow.
Get out there. That'll be the Tuesday afternoon. So it'll be the Wednesday morning.
Of what date?
Now, I'm thinking... If Thanksgiving's the 22nd, the following Thursday would be the 29th. So it should be Wednesday the 28th by my calculations. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Wednesday the 28th because we fly out Friday the 30th. So if anyone wants to join me on the morning of Wednesday the 28th of November in the freezing cold at Yosemite National Park, drop me an email.
It would be great. And look, it would be great. I'd love to go with you. But if you want to, really, guys, if you get a chance and you want to spend a morning showing Bruce how to photograph Yosemite, he'd really appreciate it. Not that he doesn't know how, but if you have experience in the area.
Yeah, but if you know the area, then you would probably know the best vantage points.
Yes. So, yes. And of course, you don't have all that much time, so you'll want to get the best shots possible in the time you have. And therein, of course, is the key often to good photography, you know, research and you know, having people there to make sure you get the best thing and the best, you know, the best shortest amount of time.
Absolutely.
So fantastic. Sorry, I interrupted.
No, you're right. So photograph the sunrise at Yosemite. Then head back to the motel to pick up Kath and Max and then take them into the park because obviously they want to see the park as well. So that'll be the, you know, sort of early morning. Then we'll probably hang around there till, I don't know, maybe lunchtime. And then we'll hit the road and head down through Fresno and Bakersfield and into LA. And we'll find a motel or a hotel somewhere on the north side of LA for Wednesday night and Thursday night. Thursday is going to be the full day at Universal Studios.
Fantastic.
And then Friday, I've got an inside invitation for a behind-the-scenes tour. Get this. You waiting for this?
No, I really don't know that I want to hear this.
Drum roll.
Brrr.
Of the Jet Propulsion Laboratories at NASA in Pasadena.
Oh, shut up.
So, man. That's pretty cool.
Look, if you don't come back with some awesome experiences and some fantastic photographs, I'm going to fire you from this podcast, which I really can't do considering you invited me to do it.
So we're going to get a tour of the JPL on Friday morning, have lunch with my contact there, and then probably just do a few little touristy things Friday afternoon, and then I think it's about 8:30 Friday night, we fly out for Sydney and get back here Sunday morning.
There you go, folks.
So it's a jam-packed itinerary.
But if you want to catch up with Bruce or you want to have lunch with him or offer him a meal or just say g'day, meet him somewhere, you got to say g'day, all right? Yeah. That's how you say it. It's not g'day or good day. It's g'day.
G'day.
G'day. And if you want to say that to Bruce...
Mate. G'day, yes. Mate.
If anybody comes up to you while you're in the United States... and goes, mate, you know the listeners of the Shutters Inc. podcast. Right. It's our call. It's our catch cry. Before you go, Bruce, you've got a wedding to photograph.
I do. That's the weekend after this, the 22nd.
Okay. Now, there's a couple of things to remember, and they are find the light.
Yep.
And put them in it. Put them in it. Yep. Find the light and put them in it. Now that could be window light. It could be a low angle of sunlight. It could be the light under a tree. It could be the light cast from a skylight in a building. It could be the light cast from a window. It could be light streaming through an alleyway onto the street. It could be any kind of light.
Mm-hmm.
But find the light and put them in it.
Yep.
Don't overtly contrive your poses.
No.
Find ways that the couple are comfortable.
Well, they've actually said they want this fairly casual. They
yep.
don't want a lot of contrived portrait-y type
no.
stuff. So,
yeah. Well, here's the thing. Look, from my experience, couples say that a lot. We just,
yep.
We don't want it because, and often it's because what couples have seen is overtly contrived.
Yeah.
And look, just so much not them. It's not funny.
Yeah.
But trust me, they will want some set up or established portraits
yeah.
taken.
Yeah.
And if you're listening and you're shooting a wedding and a couple say, look, we just want you to turn up and take pictures. Trust me, that is true. Do what they want you to do. Turn up and take pictures. Make them candid. Make them natural. But I have always said to customers whose weddings I'm photographing, that's fine. I will do that. But trust me, you will want me just to take 10 or 15 minutes aside. That's all I'll need to establish just a couple of nicely lit portraits of you, because
yep.
in years to come, those will be very important to you. And on the immediate side of things, they'll be very important to your mums, your dads,
mm-hmm.
and your families. But to be honest with you, even when you get your wedding portraits back, as a couple, when you've returned from your honeymoon and you ring up the photographer, you will be expecting to see some nice portraits of the two of you.
Yeah.
So, find the light, put them in it, and find a way in which we can, in which you can pose the couple so that they are natural.
Yep.
And that will take a few minutes it might take an hour to establish, Bruce.
Yep.
How the couple interact, what their heights
sure.
are, their body sizes are, what their personalities are, and work with them.
Yeah.
But as a, I will send to you an itinerary.
The short list?
The shoot list.
Yep, beautiful.
And you can tick these off as you go. And if you tick these
Excellent.
Off as you go, you will have you'll have all the photographs you need. And then, of course, if anybody's interested in discussing the subject of wedding photography, the itinerary, shot by shot, if that is a big thing for you, I know that in America, of course, you're now heading into winter, but perhaps as we get closer to your spring, we're, of course, heading into spring here now, or we
yeah.
are in spring here now.
Yep.
Wedding photography is becoming popular over our spring and summer, and, of course, in the United States will become, popular as
yeah.
the first
sort of
few
February,
months.
February, March.
Yeah, February, March, April sort of start to creep into the, northern hemisphere. If that's something that interests you, because weddings are a hard thing to shoot, and I look at, our own sites on Flickr, and I look at the wedding photography. There's a couple of wedding photography sites on Flickr that are dedicated to wedding photography, and I must admit, and forgive me for being offensive, I really don't mean to be, but I think most of the images I see on those websites are fairly mediocre.
Yeah,
and I'm really not trying to be some sort of arrogant uppity sort of pig
mightier than thou
ponytailed photographer. I'm really not. I'm just thinking, so much more could be done with just the philosophy of find the light and put them in it.
Yeah.
Use, as we discussed at the beginning, the right lens and the right viewpoint to match that lens. That is so important. I can't stress that enough. It's where so many photographers make mistakes. Remove the distractions. Make the bride and groom the subject. It doesn't matter that they've got a 1927 Rolls-Royce Silver Ghost or whatever it is. It doesn't matter that they're standing in front of a grand mansion. They are still the subject, and no matter how you compose it, they have to be king. They have to be the heroes in the shot.
You've just reminded me of something.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes back a few weeks to where we were talking about exposing for an 18% grey.
Yep.
Am I correct in assuming that if you had a grayscale strip that goes from white at one end to black at the other end,
mm-hmm.
that at 18% grey is 18% in from the white end? Is that what that means?
I've never actually had the question put to me that way.
And the reason I've been thinking about this is because, you really hit home a few weeks back where you were talking about, you know, the bride will want to see the detail in her dress.
Yes.
And that sort of got me thinking about, you know, when it comes to this sort of photography, if anything, if you have to err, then err on the side of underexposure so that you get that detail in the dress.
Yes.
Which, you know, then led me on to thinking about this whole 18% grey thing, which is why I was, you know...
Yeah. I mean, not too much underexposure, otherwise you really have to work the thing.
Yeah.
But the great thing about Lightroom, and of course that's something that I'm going to be looking at, is there's a lot of recovery tools in Lightroom for highlight loss in RAW, and that's really great. But you don't have to muck with that too much. I mean, you really can photograph a dress without burning it out. And of course, naturally, if you just went by the camera's meter, it would sort of bring it down to a grayish anyway, because it's very bright, and the camera's meter will go, oh, it's very bright in here, and underexpose things a little bit. But detail in the dress in some shots, especially if you're doing a detailed bride full-length shot, the detail is very important.
Yeah.
But there are some shots where it just won't be possible due to the limitations of your sensor and its ability to, you know, record detail in highlight and shadow, and sensors differ there.
Actually, it's a good point. I don't even know if she's wearing a white or cream dress. I better find that out.
There you go. But, you know, the sensors vary, and of course they are getting much better. The sensor in the Fuji S5, for instance, is just knockout for highlight detail. It's unparalleled, I think, in its ability to do that. A friend of mine, Greg Bayer, has an S5 now, and he just absolutely loves it. And of course, I know other photographers who are having a great time with the S5. So, you know, that would be one thing that you'll need to consider. But, you know, using those tools, those very basic principles, Bruce, I'm sure you'll do a great job.
Yep.
You've listened to 91 of these podcasts, man. If you come back with a rubbish wedding, I am just going to fire you. I really will.
Now, there's a couple of things I'd like to cover before we wrap up.
Okay.
One is, I got an email through the week from Matt Armstead, who said, and this was in relation to last week's podcast where we were talking about cleaning your digital sensor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, have you guys ever seen or heard about sensor film? It's a liquid plastic that you put on the sensor, you paint it on with an anti-static brush, and it dries, and you remove the crap without it getting everywhere. No smudges, and it's all safe for the electronics.
Yes.
And this basically, you paint it on as a liquid, and then once it's dried, you peel it off as a sheet of plastic, and it just brings all of the dust and crap with it.
Yes, I have heard of that.
Sounds pretty cool.
Yes.
So I'll put a link for that on the show notes.
Yep, terrific. And thanks for the email, Matt. That's great. There are some great products out there, and no doubt, of course, the products will proliferate as the need arises, and people will come up with all sorts of means of cleaning the sensor. And one day, it will be no longer necessary to take it down to your local, technician, or have the, as we discussed last week, the, you know, on the spot portable I come to you technician.
I tell you what, I love that idea. I'm seriously thinking about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I think it'd work.
I probably need to do a bit of market research on, you know, the market here in Sydney, and just find out what the general attitude would be to a service like that.
Yeah. Well, the market would be every single wedding portrait photographer studio in Sydney.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially wedding location work, because
The guys who have to change lenses out in the field.
Yeah. So every wedding photographer in the country who's got a wedding every weekend will want that service sooner or later.
Yeah.
So, you know, but mind you, look, if you do go broke, Bruce, and you have to sell your sports cars, please don't blame me. Now, I haven't got the guts to start up that business, even though it's my baby and my idea, but it could work. Sorry, I interrupted. You had a couple of other things you wanted to talk about.
The other thing that I wanted to say was, and obviously you haven't had a chance to dig into Lightroom yet, but you were talking about at the beginning of this podcast about the one-click features in PaintShop Pro.
Yes.
When you get into Lightroom, you'll find that it also has a list of preset development routines so that you can go for a sepia look, or you can go for an antique look, or you can go for a cool look, and it'll basically adjust everything, and, you know, white points and all sorts of stuff. And Yeah, so there are some nifty little tricks in Lightroom that are similar.
I'm a fan of the vibrancy and clarity settings. They can be overused, of course, but I think that they, they are they're a new way of looking at getting detail from raw files, and I really like them. So we'll probably be talking a bit about Lightroom as I familiarize myself more with it. I wasn't a fan at the start, but having attended a seminar and seeing how it actually works, I went, aha! Epiphany.
Yeah.
And I really love it. I think it's a great product. So, and as photographers, I don't think we should limit ourselves to one product. I use Photoshop. Mm. I use Corel Paint Shop Pro. Now I'll be also using Lightroom and Bridge. It's like any skill. You have a toolbox.
Yeah.
You know, you don't just have a hammer. You have a chisel and you have a saw and a level and, you know, you have all sorts of things. So there's all these tools at our disposal, and our imaging can only improve as we understand each of them more, you know. So, there's differences in, I play guitar, and there's differences in sound between a Fender Strat and a Telecaster and a Les Paul.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they are a 335 or whatever. Yep. You know, there's so many different kinds of sounds and tools. A musician knows that it's not just a guitar, it's a particular kind of guitar.
Absolutely.
It's the same with the tools we now have. Familiarize yourself with as many of them as possible. You will find the one you're most comfortable in. But, there'll always be new tools to look at, new ways of making our images really sing in the post-process. We should already start to get a handle on the capture process, which is what we're about here at Shutters Inc.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We may change that. Who knows? As I run out of ideas, we're going to have to start talking about something else, man. But...
excellent.
Well, there you go, folks. Right, you have a chance to meet Bruce, the famous Bruce Williams of Shutters Inc., coming to America. He will be looking for a few free beers and g'day in the street. So if you see a really good looking guy with an Australian accent, it's probably Bruce Williams on his visit to your part of the world.
Oh dear. All right, mate. Thank you for that.
Just trying to get you some free food, mate. Don't blame me. Okay.
Excellent. All right. We'll talk with you next week.
Looking forward to it, everybody. Thanks again for entering the competition. Thank you, Jamie, for yours. And we will get on with another one very, very soon. So start thinking about your landscapes,
and
folks.
Thank you to Corel for the prize as well.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you very much for Paint Shop Pro, a fabulous product. It really is. And I'm not just saying that because they've given it to us. I have long been a fan of this product. And it is, you're going to love it, Jamie. You really are.
Beautiful. All right, mate. Talk with you next week.
No worries. A pleasure.
See ya.
See you soon.
Now, how much of that did you understand?
Audio to You delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable. You be the boss. Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear.
Hit us today. And remember, Control-D to bookmark. AudioToYou.com.
It's all over, Marge. It's all over.